Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Welcome back to another edition of Inside Boxing Live. It is your favorite podcast. It is your grandma's favorite podcast. It is your grandfather's favorite podcast, who probably won the Golden Gloves. And it's Chris Algieri. I'm joined by every single week. He's a former 140-pound world champion. He is the trainer of Mikey Algieri, who is the latest of the Fighting Algieris, which we'll touch on in a little bit. How are you, Chris? What's going on, my friend?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Yeah, I don't think my grandfather listens to podcasts, you know, now that you mentioned it, but, you know, it's a good thought. We would be my grandfather's favorite podcast.
Damn right. Bob Canova is grandpa, and he listens to the show.
Oh, there we go. No. Yeah. No, my grandfather's made it to live long enough to actually know what a podcast is even right. Was. So
my grandfather was a big WFAN, Mike and the Mad listener. And I think as towards the end of his life, I was just getting into sports media. And I feel like he would get a kick out of the things that I'm doing now. So shout out Mario Canobio. Shows off to a weird start. Let's talk about Mikey Garcia. Mikey Algieri, your nephew, won the Ringmasters, which was once formerly.
No. That wasn't Ringmasters. It was the six borough championship.
Let's go, Mikey. Let's freaking go. Another Algieri. Speaking of grandparents and parents, your parents must just be. How do they feel about this? Because you got through your career unscathed. You got your wits. You got your looks. Now they got another Algieri going to go through a 10, 15 year boxing career if everything goes well.
Yeah, and nobody's all that happy about it.
They're probably blaming you. Definitely blaming you.
Listen, Mike's a grown man. He can do whatever he wants. But yeah, my poor brother, the two people closest people in his entire life, his brother and his firstborn son, have chosen the toughest road possible.
Yeah, go back and watch some of those of Chris's fights. And HBO spent more time showing your brother than you in the ring. Your brother was pacing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was kind
of
like
he lost a lot of nights of sleep, that guy. Yeah. And looks like he's gonna lose a lot more now with his son, who's actually pretty darn good.
Yeah. So shout out to Mikey Algieri for a big win over the weekend. I know you were cornering him out in Long Island. That was cool to see. A lot to get into in this episode, but this episode is brought to you by Sports Kings. Wow, Sports Kings. This episode is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. You've heard of them. They're the official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs. NFL playoffs are in full swing. The Chiefs are underdogs this weekend on the road against Baltimore.
Whoa.
I'm looking at that because I feel like the Chiefs can't be stopped right now. And DraftKings is bringing you an offer that will help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet just $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. So go right now to the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code IBL. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code IBL. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, you can call 1-800-GAMBLER, or you can visit www.1800gambler.net in New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. You can text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for a problem gambling. Call 888-879-777, or you can visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. That's in Kansas. 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
DraftKings, even better than Sports Kings, you know, and that's another sports really good one out there.
There's a Sports King out there, but the DraftKings is who we mess with.
So you said the Chiefs might be unstoppable this week. Is it because of Taylor Swift that they are unbeatable right now?
Well, I talked about this. I talked about this on one of our other shows here. Is that in the NFL? If you're familiar with this, there's something called, like, everyone says they have the script. There's a script out there where the
already, I've heard this.
Right, it's already determine what's going to happen. The NFL already has a script.
Like WWE.
Yeah. Right. We'll get to that too, WWE on this show. But in this script, they say that it's going to end with Mahomes leading the Chiefs to another Super Bowl win. And on the field after the game, Travis Kelce is going to propose to Swift and it'd be the most viewed thing in the history of life.
Things, right?
That's the latest script. And for that to happen,
likely, we're definitely in a simulation at this point, right? If that happens, far. I mean, I think the argument is pretty much put laid to rest.
Right. And if you want that to happen, or if you don't want that to happen, you can bet or bet against the Chiefs using the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Love that. Let's get into our biggest story of the week. It's a big fight weekend. It was a little slow last weekend. We just had Mayer and Jonas, which we'll touch on. It's Jaime Munguia and it's John Ryder. Fun fight at 168. Action fight. Two fighters that come forward. Two fighters that are on different trajectories of their careers. I got Jaime Munguia, who is a 27-year-old, 42-0. Still work in progress type of all action fighter who was a former champion. And you got John Ryder, who was coming off of a really good performance against Canelo, battle tested, grizzled vet, has been in there with basically everyone at 168. I think this will be a fun TV fight. I think there's some stakes for Munguia. For Ryder, it's all about, you know, getting another win and getting some more money in his career. Fun fight over on DAZN.
Yeah, fun because Munguia is fun. Munguia is always fun. And Ryder is super tough. He's very capable. I think he's just below the championship level, and he's shown that. You know, he said he fought everybody. I don't think it's going to be as fun as the Derevchenko fight, though.
Oh, it's got to be. It's possible.
Yeah, that fight was awesome, and I think just stylistically, the way that John fights is like the way Sergey fights. So, still a good fight. I think Munguia is never in a bad fight. I don't think he can be in a bad fight. The guy is face first and throws a ton of punches. Got a good chin. He likes to beat people up, break them down to the body. So when Munguia is pretty much watch TV at this point, even though he has not fought the guys that we really want to see him in with, but doesn't matter. He's still fun.
Munguia's career needs to be studied. Like, it's the strangest trajectory. If it was on a graph, it would be just peaks and valleys. Like, go back to 2018. He was supposed to fight Golovkin. Remember when Canelo popped, got suspended? They Golden Boy or whoever came up with
tainted meat.
Right. They came up with Golovkin versus Jaime Munguia, late replacement. Nevada Athletic Commission says no. Munguia is too green. He can't, no way can he fight Golovkin. So what does Munguia do a week later? He goes and upsets Saddam Ali and he becomes a champion at 154. He defends that title five times against decent, but like not great opposition. Moves up to 160, fights even worse opposition. He's going backwards despite being a former champion. Then he hops up to 168. His first fight is with Derevchenko, easily his best win for Munguia. It's just a very strange career. And even at 42-0, it's like we're constantly being sold that Munguia is, you know, he's going to keep improving. He had Eric Morales as his trainer, but now he has Freddie Roach. And, you know, he's still going to get there. He's still going to get to what he is. Maybe at age 27, this is what Munguia is, a fun offensive fighter with better improving defense. That's just going to be a contender, maybe a champion.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a tough weight class to be in. You know, the top guys at 168 right now are total studs. You know, you've got at the top, obviously, you've got Canelo. But you got David Benavidez. You've got David Morrell. You got Caleb Plant. I don't think Munguia beats any of those guys. So how, you know, what's his path to being a world champion at 168?
There's four belts, so he has to hope that there's some type of WBO path. I mean, he's number one at in the WBO. I mean, we talk about these rankings every week, even though I don't like to put a lot of stock in them. Do you really think he's that? Like, obviously, Benavidez would be favored in a fight against him. Canelo would be favored in a fight against him. Morrell, Munguia would be interesting. I just think he is dangerous. Like, on a good night, if he puts together everything perfectly, he could win. His defense is getting a lot better. I went and looked. I mean, over his last five fights, he's only getting hit with 27%.
But that was working with Eric Morales. Now he's with Freddie, who is the last thing from a defensive coach.
Right.
He is a very, very aggressive coach. And he trains punchers. He loves guys that throw combinations. I think it's actually a good matchup. But I don't know if we're going to see an improvement in the defense, or it's going to keep trending in that way that he's going to be, you know, getting hit less.
The thing is, he gets hit with like these eye-catching shots. And I think this happens often in boxing. Like, a lot of boxers get typecast early in their career. It's like, oh my God, his defense sucks. And fans will never get over that, even if he starts improving. Like, even if he gets in and works with a defensive coach, or you can see the numbers. Same thing with Benavidez. Everyone's like, oh, Benavidez' defense is bad. His footwork's bad. A lot of fighters get typecast. And I think Munguia got typecast a little bit as this all-out brawler. Yeah, he does throw a lot of punches, and he'll get his head snapped back. But, you know, opponents, 27% in the last five fights. It's been some decent opposition over the last five fights. So he's more than just a brawler, in my opinion. But I think I kind of contradict myself. I think at 42-0 in age 27, I think this is what he is.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, guys usually don't get better defense as they move up in competition. And from here on out, it's going to be really tough. John Ryder's a really tough matchup. He's a tough out for anybody. And it's only going to go up from here. I mean, Munguia, people, I believe, with a win over Ryder this weekend, which is not a foregone conclusion, but with a win here, they're looking for major fights. They think he's ready.
They're looking for Canelo. I mean, they're dangling Canelo. They're not being coy about it. De La Hoya is now saying nice things about Canelo. I love to work with him.
Are you hearing the same BS that I'm hearing about Jamal Charlo and Canelo and
Dan? Yeah, I am hearing that.
Is this unconfirmed? I'm hoping
unconfirmed, but it's a short list for Canelo, man. It's a short list for Canelo in May. I think Benavidez is in September. I have that later on in the show, but like I have had heard that for Jamal Charlo, and Jamal Charlo was supposed to fight Munguia, like 2019.
That would make more sense. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Right,
I
mean, but that was that whole DAZN Showtime. They couldn't get over the finish line. Like Munguia has tried. Like they've tried. Like De La Hoya and them have tried to get him a big fight, and he has a great fan base, and you get that Mexican fan base. A Canelo Munguia fight would be a fun fight. I don't know how that works out logistically. Like, will PBC work with Golden Boy? You know, it's a quick turnaround too. We're talking it's late January, and we're looking at a May 4th Canelo fight. I mean,
a fight with Ryder is not an easy night. I don't care.
I mean, yeah, look what he did to Canelo. I mean, Canelo won every round, but damn, did he have to earn it?
Yeah, he had a big bright red nose at the end of the fight. Like, yeah, no, it's just it would be really tough to make that turnaround that quick. Let me ask you something, Dan. No, yeah, definitely. But like, I think it's too much of a risk in such a major, major money fight. Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
Nice.
If the Jamal Charlo fight, I'm assuming you hate that fight, right?
Jamal versus Canelo.
Yeah.
I hate it at surface level. I can maybe be talked into it being somewhat of a good fight.
I hate it. I hate it top to bottom. But so that being said, if Jamal Charlo Canelo is crammed down our throats in May, but we are getting Benavidez Canelo in September, does it make the injury less?
Yes, but what are they going to do? Are they going to announce Benavidez beforehand? Are they going to bring Benavidez into the ring?
Yeah.
Is Mike Coppinger going to leak a story out that PBC feeds him or something like that, where it's like, hey, if Canelo wins, there's a deal in place for Benavidez. Mm-hmm. That makes
boxing.
Yeah, that could easily happen. That makes it a lot easier to swallow. I mean, it's just a shame that Jamal Charlo had the things that were going on in his life outside the ring, because like even what we saw against that Benavidez fight, against Jose Benavidez, like there were flashes of like the old Charlo, like when he puts his combinations together, like but it's just so long out of the ring, and it would be a very hard sell to the public. That's what I mean. Like Canelo kind of has a short list. Like Munguia would be a fun one. People know his name. At least there would be a guy that's active, Munguia, as long as he's not been really fighting good opponents. But
if you think about it, it looks like Al ultimately signed Canelo to make big paydays for his guys. Yeah. And giving up one of that three-fight deal to Munguia just doesn't make sense to me from where I'm thinking about it. If I'm Al, I want to get my Charlo boys paid. So, you know, if they can jam it down our throat, they will.
It's a short list. Like, once again, I said it over and over, it's not many options for Canelo out there. And besides Benavidez, and if we're wasting time until September, then I would not be shocked by Charlo. Munguia would shock me, but that's what they are floating out there. You're going to hear that a lot this week in the lead up in this fight. You know, De La Hoya is going to be saying Canelo. It's the oldest trick in the book when it comes to promoting, is mention the bigger fight next, mention the cash cow of the sport. I'd be shocked to see that. But over on the side of Ryder, we know what kind of he is. Like, arguably beat Callum Smith, had that weird fight with Zach Parker. He had some close wins, had some nice performances. Canelo fight kind of got him this fight here, despite being pretty much shut out. I think two of the judges, one of the judges had a 120 to whatever, 11 to 1 type of fight. But for the last three rounds against Canelo, he was going punch for punch with Canelo. And he might have outlanded him towards the end. And it got him this fight. Like, he is the complete opposite of Munguia. He only throws 39 punches a round. That's the ninth lowest in all of boxing, where Munguia throws 64 per round, lands 21 per round. And the thing that kind of
gets... He's in the top 10 lowest punch output fighters in the world?
Yep. Canelo's on that list, too.
Well, I could see that. Canelo's Davis on a power puncher and very explosive. Another guy, very explosive, scores knockouts. Ryder's not.
Andy Ruiz on that list. Yeah, Ryder is on that list. Under 40 punches around versus a guy that throws 65. That was all. Gives me a lot of pause on Ryder winning this fight, because it's like, A, you know, he's not going to outwork Munguia. Like, Munguia is going to throw 65 punches around with his eyes closed, and he'll win rounds there. And
sometimes his eyes are closed, actually, if you really watch him.
That is part of the charm of Jaime Munguia. And Ryder's defense is not that great either. Canelo landed 55% of his power shots.
Dropped him, too.
Dropped him. And it's interesting. The odds are really interesting here, because Munguia by decision is plus money.
Yeah, I was looking plus at the 100. Odds, and I was very surprised. But I was like, yeah, I expected it to be wider, like really wide.
Like, Munguia by... And the money line is pretty wide. It's minus 340. Like, Ryder is a pretty big underdog at plus 250. Over 10 and a half rounds, which I think this is going decision. Like, decision is plus money. I feel like that's a good bet. It's plus 100. Because you got to keep in mind, Ryder has only been stopped once. And that was in 2015. So we're going like 9 years. The guy's durable if he's anything. So Munguia by decision might be the play here.
Also, you got to think, Munguia, this is only his second fight at 68, correct? His first one was Sergey. And Sergey's not a super middleweight. Sergey is a 60-pounder. He fought his whole career at 160. I think that was his first at 168. So Ryder is the first real 168-pounder that Munguia's ever fought.
We're correct. That's a very good point. And it's weird, because they got Munguia by KO is also plus money. So they, like, it's plus 230. Well, Ryder's tough. Could there be like an accumulation of punches, like a stoppage towards the end, like a ref jumps in? Is Tony Weeks reffing this fight? We need to know who's reffing these fights.
but like, this is not going to, the scales are not going to be tipped in the favor of John Ryder.
No, they do not want him to win this fight.
And no, of course not.
Golden Boy has 3 or 4 stars, and they need them to win. It's Munguia, it's Virgil Ortiz, it's Ryan Garcia, and I don't even know the fourth. That's the bigger fight this weekend. That's over on DAZN. I think it'll be fun. I'm going to have a live chat going during it. Dan After Dark returns. Will Chris Algieri join? Will Chris Algieri join? That's the beauty of the mystery. You never know.
That's why it's Dan After Dark.
Dan After Dark.
CA looming in the shadows, perhaps.
You never know. This past weekend, let's touch on this fight, because it was controversial, and it was a really good fight. Michaela Mayer loses a split decision to Natasha Jonas. I did not catch it live. I did watch it last night, and I tried my best to not let any of the tweets that I read and the outcry from the fans out there that thought that Meyer won, but I thought Meyer won. I had her up 6-4 in this fight, Chris. I had Jonas winning up until the 7th round. So I had Meyer sweeping the 8th, 9th, and 10th. She landed more punches. She threw more punches. She also got hit with a lot. She really did not do a good job of blocking punches. I mean, a close fight, fun fight, but I personally had Meyer squeaking it out.
Yeah, I didn't watch a fight live either. I was literally reading about the results when Mikey was getting his hand wraps before the fight, because it was the afternoon show. But I watched it, and yeah, entertaining fight. Good fight. You know, high-level women's fight. I, too, had Meyer eking it out. But very, very close fight. Anyone declaring robbery, I think, is you're pushing it. It's a good fight, close fight.
It's the buzzword of boxing.
Yeah, yeah. Not every close fight's a robbery, but it's just, you know, when you got Mayer, who's coming across the pond fighting over in Liverpool.
I hate that.
Yeah, it looks like it's like almost like a setup, but ultimately it was it's a good fight. But this is also these 2 minute rounds, dude. It's so hard to score these. It's hated from a scoring perspective. And I don't know what the answer is, because I don't know if 12 threes is really a great idea. What about 10 threes? You know, like
threes or 12 twos.
12 twos. Yeah. I don't like twos at all.
12-2 only makes it a four, makes it an extra 4 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then, so even
the
now,
problem,
we're looking,
right? That's not
we're
the
looking,
problem.
No, it's not, that's not the problem. We're looking, first of all, another thing was we're looking at a world championship in 20 minutes. It's a very short contest.
It's so different than the men's side. It's just like a frantic pace. It's like a, it's a sprint. Like sometimes women's fights, they're not the best. And we've had this.
And I think they'd be better if they had more time because they could settle in more and set things up. Mayer, I think, would do really well with a 3 minute round because, one, she got good endurance. Obviously, she put it on in the last couple of rounds.
Yeah.
And she throws a lot of punches. I don't know. I think especially for certain fights, you know, of this magnitude, like if they do a rematch, do that 3 minutes, man.
Amanda Serrano's fighting on March 2nd, in Puerto Rico, another 3-minute round.
On my birthday, March 2nd.
Wow, huge. I'll be in Puerto Rico. I'll send you a text from the beach.
I'll be in Verona, New York.
Oh, my God.
You know, we'll be in polar opposites.
Polar opposites there. Serrano says, I'm only fighting 12 3-minute rounds from here on out. She's made
good
it pretty clear. Right. Mayer and Jonas. We're talking about two Olympians. This is high-level stuff.
Yes. High level.
Could be 12 3-minute rounds. If you're a novice, if you're a fighter up and coming, like Crystal Rosado is the protege of Amanda Serrano. She's like 18, 19-year-old fighting out of Puerto Rico. She's really good. She fights for Most Valuable Prospects. Like, we're not going to put her at 3-minute round. We'll put her in 2-minute rounds, and then we're going to work our way up. Let's be smart about it.
I think there should be special circumstances for certain specific fighters and matchups where the rounds are 3 minutes.
And if the fighters sign off on it, which is what Serrano's opponents seem to always do, it also comes with a nice paycheck because Serrano's that big now. But the fighters have to agree to it, of course. And most fighters.
Well, I think Mayer was saying it before this fight. Let's fight this in 3 minutes. I don't think Jonas was agreeing to it or whatever. But I mean,
yeah, that's what I mean. It's like I put this down in my notes, like 2-minute rounds. When the talent is this even, makes the fights almost impossible to score. Because
every one of the high level women's fights are always the same. It's always razor thin. First of all, they always go decision, but it's razor thin, and we're all sitting there afterwards going, "Hey, it was a really good fight." it could have gone either way.
Right, you find yourself looking at the totality of the fight rather than the round by round.
Yeah,
like at the end of the fight, like I did score,
which makes scoring impossible.
Oh yeah, it's not how you're supposed to do it. Like at the end of the fight, I was like, all right, I did score it round by round. I had Mayer, but there were so many rounds where I was like,
right.
It's Mayer. And what I prefer walking down, I guess she was walking her down.
Yeah, it becomes almost like more of like a gut feeling. I was like, I felt like Mayer won that one, so I'm going to go with Mayer.
Right, whereas you should score them round by round.
Which normally for the men's, it's a lot of times is the opposite. I'm at times where I'm watching a fight, like the Lomachenko-Haney fight. I'm watching that fight. And I remember at the end being like, oof, man, I feel like Lomachenko won. Then I look at my cards and I'm like, nope, I got it a draw. Like,
well, that's what I felt with this one. I felt that Mayer won because the last three rounds were so. I thought she clearly won those three, and that kind of just took the momentum of the event. Like at the end of the fight, when Jonas got her hand raised, I was like, okay, she didn't win that fight, but it was close. Another thing I can't stand, obviously 2-minute rounds, I can't stand this line of thinking in boxing. It's one of the oldest notions. What do we call it? Myth in boxing. Joe Gallagher is the trainer of Natasha Jonas. He said, when you're a challenger in someone else's backyard, you got to rip the title away. And she didn't.
It's not a thing.
What is that?
It's not a thing. You basically just said your charge robbed her. You basically just said, she didn't do enough to win. So we won. You know, like, no.
It's one of the biggest myths in boxing. You have to rip
the,
you have to
beat the champ.
Win it.
Got to beat the champ.
You got to win more rounds than the other fighter.
This is the scoring is what it's for. I mean, you come to the decision subjectively who you think won that round, but it's objectively who won, you know, but at the end, it's like when you tally up the score, it's like, all right, this person won. This is, you know, there's not a special point. You don't start with a plus one or plus two rounds because you're champ.
It's kind of sad though. I think some fights you do, because I think that's what happened here.
Yeah. Well,
but I think
some judges have their scorecard written in the car right over. So, that's just part of boxing too. And that's why we punch ourselves in the face all the time.
There was a 10-10 scorecard on one of these cards, which is a British thing I heard.
I'm not super opposed to 10-10s, but for female fights, I feel like they should be illegal. Like it's a 2-minute round. They could all be 10-10s then. So that's not, no 10-10s.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest myths in boxing, and I hate hearing it, and I hope that it goes away. Some other news and notes this weekend. Did you see our guy over in Saudi Arabia, His Excellency the Prince, mentioned casually at one of their meetings or one of their press conferences, I want to see Matchroom versus Queensberry 5-on-5. And Eddie Hearn laughs, Frank Warren laughs. Keep in mind, these two were bitter rivals. Couldn't even be in the same room with each other for the last 10 years. They start chumming it up and laughing.
Money brings worlds together.
Unbelievable, man. They can bring together Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren. And everyone kind of laughs it off. And, oh, that would be cool, right? But in the new world we're living in, where Saudi Arabia has this ton of money, the next day, 2 days later, it's signed, sealed, delivered. We're getting this event. We're getting Matchroom 5 versus Queensberry 5. We don't know who the fighters are. It's not going to be like Joshua versus Fury, which I would have number one on that list. It's going to be smaller fighter. Like, I wouldn't be so shocked to see like an Anthony Yard on there or Callum Smith on there or a couple women's fights on there. But it got me thinking about an American version of this. Like, we don't have a big money man over here, but we've played this exercise once before. What would be a 5-on-5 Top Rank versus PBC? Got my mind churning, Chris. And obviously, for number one, Gervonta Davis representing the PBC, Shakur Stevenson representing Top Rank for now, before he hits free agency at the end of the year, which he hinted at. That's my number one, Gervonta Davis.
Yeah, that's the first one that comes to my mind as well.
Another one I have on here, Christopher. Naoya Inoue. You got to have Inoue in there. But there aren't that, like, a clear guy for him to fight at 122 for the PBC. So I'm moving Inoue up to 126, where I think he'll eventually be, versus Luis Alberto Lopez. Great featherweight, who stopped Lara and who is showing himself as one of the best featherweights.
Venado.
You like that fight?
That's a tough fight. It's not a fight I've ever thought about, you know, and now that you mentioned it, I'm like, Venado is a really difficult style. So yeah, I'm not mad about that at all.
Yeah. This is the Top Rank versus PBC. Got to get Canelo in this because he's the face of boxing and he's with PBC. Once again, he has fights for him right inside the PBC. Like, Benavidez versus Canelo is an all PBC fight that could be made. But for the sake of this game, I have Canelo at a catchweight going up against Beterbiev.
Oh.
Catchweight of 171.5. Canelo versus 39-year-old Arthur Beterbiev.
I don't want to see that.
I don't really want to see it either, but we're playing a game here.
I think Beterbiev chews him up and spits him out.
Just one-twos him to death?
Yeah, just corner, puts him in a corner, walks through a counterpunch, and then just puts hands on Canelo.
Even at 171.5?
It doesn't matter.
Chew Beterbiev down a little bit. He's 39. Maybe a little harder to get those last couple pounds off. Canelo's got to just bulk up, eat a few more tacos.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't love that one either. I don't love that one either, but I wanted to get Canelo into this game. Teofimo Lopez with Top Rank. I'm going to assume that Subriel Matias is still aligned with PBC. His last couple fights were with PBC. So Subriel Matias versus Teofimo Lopez. That's a fun one.
That's a fun one. I think it's actually one that's going to happen too. I could really see that fight happening. I could see Tio like chomping at the bit to make that one happen if he can't get one of the big guys that have any the Haney's, you know, that he wants. I like that fight, and it's I just feel like that fight can happen, you know, because Tio likes the toughest challenges. He wants to be the man. He wants to own the division. He has stated that. He has made that clear. And to do that, you're going to have to go through a guy like Matias.
Yeah, Teofimo is right now in promoter mode. February 8th, he's fighting Jermaine Ortiz. He's all over the place.
We had a good interview with him over Pro Box on Saturday over the weekend.
Nice.
And he's very much in promoter mode. He's wearing
the
hat.
He leaked some sparring footage of him and Rolly.
From when?
2017, 18. Like, Rolly and him used to be friends. Like, something went south here because I used to see them in Vegas together. Like, they were buddies. And something went wrong. And hashtag, he said, revenge on Rolly. It was him, like, dog walking him. Like, he was beating him up in sparring. I know sparring is not real fights, but, like.
But Rolly has sparring where he is, like, neck and neck with, like, everybody. But Tio's whooping him. I got to watch. Yeah, that's the thing people don't realize. Tio's Tio, man. He's
on his Twitter right now.
Very special guy. I got to check that out.
And then at 154, I like Xander Zayas versus Tim Tszyu. Tim Tszyu light years ahead of Zayas. Yeah. Get that, but still a fun fight.
I don't like that one. I don't like that one. It's I think it's too soon for Zayas. He's young. I think he needs more development. That will be a good fight eventually. I would hate to see a kid like Zayas get ruined the way like a Fernando Vargas did fighting a Trinidad. It's not quite on that level, but I think Tim Tszyu is a little too seasoned at this point for such an early matchup like that.
Yeah, I'm looking for some heavyweights over on the PBC side because it's kind of getting hard to figure that out now with all these heavyweight fights happening over in Saudi Arabia. Like, who's still signed with PBC in terms of heavyweights that's not named Deontay Wilder? Because I think Jared Anderson over in the top rank side versus a PBC heavyweight. I'm looking on PBC's roster right now for heavyweights. Robert Hillenius, no. Kanaki, no. They don't have a lot of heavyweights. Frank Martin's not a heavyweight. Charles Martin is a heavyweight. Don't want to see that. Because I think you want to get Jared Anderson involved in this game because he's up and coming heavyweight. I don't know any PBC heavyweights off the top of my head. Is Frank Martin still with PBC? I don't know. Frank Sanchez, that's what I meant. Frank Sanchez.
Yeah, I like that
versus
fight.
Jared Anderson.
I like that fight.
Not terrible.
I like that fight a lot.
It's hard to fill out five. It's hard to, like, Golden Boy versus Top Rank might be a little bit better. Golden Boy versus PBC. But we're going to see Queensberry versus Matchroom. And it's amazing how quickly these things come together over in Saudi Arabia. Like, the Joshua and Ngannou fight got made in a heartbeat.
I love the fact that the Prince is just like, yeah, why not? Why aren't you guys, why wouldn't you guys fight each other? Like, duh.
Right, it's like all of us nerds, like when we sit here and we do these podcasts.
We're like, oh, well, they can't fight because they're on opposite ends of the street. And then the princess is like, hey, you guys got to fight each other. Right? We should get you guys to fight each other. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, they're like, wait, what? That just shows you that every negotiation in boxing since the history, the beginning of time, it was always money holding everything up because the over in Saudi Arabia.
Money and egos, Dan, and egos. Yeah. The only ego here now is the prince. But the prince, he's got all the marbles. He's got the money. He's got the ego. You got to do what he wants. To play in his playground. That's where we're at. Boxing needs this.
Yeah, going into headlines, and speaking of the Prince and over there and His Excellency, who does follow me on Twitter, I'm going to say that every single time. He obviously is working with Queensberry. He's working with Matchroom. He's doing these heavyweight fights, and slowly we're seeing some non-heavyweight fights pop up on there, like, you know, Ray Vargas is fighting Nick Ball. It's not headlining, but we're not seeing just heavyweight. So it's clear that he has bigger plans. You know, he mentioned that he would like to see Gervonta Davis versus Devin Haney in Saudi Arabia next year. Gervonta Davis got wind of this and said, if they want me, they got to send me something like two Ferraris. There's probably four Ferraris in his driveway right now.
Right. And listen, that fight's not going to happen anytime soon.
Even if they attach like $60 million to it, $30 million each, or like $40 million for Gervonta, $20 for Haney, you tell me it can't happen?
I'm not saying it can. I'm just saying it's not going to happen. The fight's not going to happen.
What's your reasoning?
I go with my gut feeling. I just don't think that fight's going to happen. I think the size
is a big
issue. Money's
not an issue. If money's not an issue, how is this?
The issue is the size. Gervonta is not. Devin's not going to be a 40 for long. He's not made long for 140. He's a big kid, and Gervonta is not big at all. He's not even big for 35, and he's super small for 40. He literally said at the Mario Barrio fight, I'm not fighting a 40 anymore. So where does that fight happen?
Let's say they really want Gervonta Davis. So just find other opponent, like Shakur Stevenson.
Shakur. Yeah. Or Gervonta Shakur, Gervonta Loma. Those fights make sense. I just don't think we're going to see Haney and Gervonta. I think we'll see Teo Haney someday. That's a fight that can happen. I would like the Prince to get in on that. You know, and honestly, Gervonta Haney's not even my favorite fight of that group.
Gervonta Shakur is?
I like that fight. I like that fight a lot just because it's an interesting clash of styles. It does have the chance to be boring because of how few punches Gervonta throws, tank throws, and how defensive, you know, Shakur can be with a dangerous puncher. Point I like being, Teo Haney. I think that fight's awesome.
Teo Haney, Teo Gervonta. Point being is that Saudi Arabia is looking outside of the heavyweight division. They're looking at all of boxing.
Finally. I love how they're looking at those guys at the lightweight 140 area because they deserve all the money because they are the top of the sport right now.
They are running the sport. It's just that it's crazy because like a Gervonta Davis versus Devin Haney or Gervonta Davis versus Shakur or Teofimo versus Haney. Those fights belong in Las Vegas. They belong in the U.S. And if and when Saudi gets a marquee name that's below heavyweight like a Gervonta Davis or a Teofimo, then I think it's a real game changer. I would not be shocked if that's coming next. But I thought it was funny that Gervonta's like, yeah, you want me? And you know, show me the money, which is obviously the only way they're going to do that. Speaking of PBC, Dan Rayfield reports that we have a start date for the PBC Amazon phase.
Woo!
March 30th. It is rumored to be our guy Gervonta Davis fighting against, we don't know yet, but March 30th, we're going to kick off PBC on Amazon, and it's going to be a lot of fights. I know it's quiet now, but it's going to be, you know, every month there's going to be a PBC fight on, whether it's a pay-per-view or whether it's their PBC on Amazon types of fights. It's going to be a whirlwind from late March, early April to the end of the year when it comes to PBC. I know they haven't had a lot to roll out yet, but everything I'm hearing is that it's going to start pretty frantically at the end of March. So that's good. PBC on Amazon's getting going.
That's great. You know, we got another way to watch boxing. We got another hat in the mix. So let's go. I'm happy about that.
Did you see, this is not boxing news, but it's streaming news. WWE will now be streaming on Netflix in 2020.
Whoa.
$5 billion deal. Raw, Monday Night Raw, which has been on USA Network since I was watching it as a kid, Stone Cold era, is now going to be on Netflix. And it got me thinking about the streaming. It got me thinking about how Netflix was flirting with some boxing, some one-offs. They want Jake Paul. They want one-off fights. They're going full-fledged Netflix into live sports. Like, this is a big-time deal. They could do the same with other sports out there. They can certainly do the same with boxing. And you take a look at, you know, like a Top Rank. I know Top Rank and ESPN are towards the end of their deal. So maybe, you know, Top Rank.
I remember what I said when this whole streaming thing came about when they're talking about boxing. I was always bullish on it. It's just where everything's going. There's no more traditional TV anymore. You know, tuning into USA Network to watch Monday Night Raw, it's not gonna be a thing anymore. It's over.
Not. It's clearly over. And the only cable way to watch boxing, cable provider for boxing, is ESPN. And
do you still call it Monday Night Raw if it's VOD? If it's video on demand, like do you still have a name for it?
It's technically live. It's going to be live on Netflix.
But like nobody watches anything live anymore.
I know. It's crazy. But they do watch sports live. That's the one thing that's really true. You watch live is like NFL on Amazon.
I sometimes forget that WWE is sports.
Sports entertainment.
Sports entertainment, right. Yeah.
It just got my ears perked up when I saw that. Does that make sense?
I look at that. Like, it looks like boxing is trending in the right direction. We're moving in the right place because WWE is massive. Huge, huge, obviously. $5 billion deal. And has been around forever. That's a good sign. If boxing is doing something ahead of the game, ahead of WWE, that's not a bad company to keep.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, Amazon and PBC, we'll see what happens with ESPN and Top Rank. I think they have one more year left on their rights deal. Will they re-up? Will Top Rank and ESPN re-up? There was a rumor that Top Rank was going to get sold to this UFC, WWE, TKO group. I don't think Bob Arum quickly shot that down and said, no, I'm not ready to sell yet. I'm having too much fun still, which he is because he's still traveling. He was in freaking Montreal when it was negative degrees, Bob. He's 94.
Bob's the man. The Bob father doesn't quit. That man has endless energy. He being around him, you know, seeing where he's at his age, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, there's been rumors for a while, like Top Rank is going to sell. They're going to sell. You know, Aram's getting older. I haven't heard that, but it's interesting to see if they did sell, like this TKO group, which is essentially WWE and UFC together, could poach Top Rank and their roster and their history and their library and potentially put it on a streaming service. That's something to keep an eye on. Lastly, you see this story, Chris. Did Jai Opetaia knock down Tyson Fury in sparring? Because that is the rumor right now. So much of a rumor and so much noise that Opetaia's promoter came out and put out a statement. No, we did not knock out Tyson Fury. We only sparred 5 rounds, but he got sent home. He left because of a lack of orthodox sparring. Opetaia is a southpaw. Usyk's a southpaw. This story is interesting.
Now, is he saying orthodox sparring, meaning orthodox stance, or yes, just more traditional in his style?
I think style.
Yeah, that would make more sense. So, yep.
But five rounds and you're done?
Well, it depends. So it depends on what the work. Listen, having a sparring session of five rounds for a day, especially for heavyweight, that's not unheard of. And you also don't know if there were other sparring partners that day, and he just did five with Opetai, and maybe he did five with somebody else, and he got 10 rounds. You don't know. So we don't have that many details about it. Speaking from a boxer standpoint in camp, listen, it's Tyson's camp. And yeah, they brought the guy in from far away. But if you don't like the work, if you guys don't mesh well in a certain way, like you got to spend a lot of time. Your sparring partners, you spend a lot of time around them. And for whatever reason, if you don't like their style, if you don't see this being beneficial, if your coach is up, you go home. Bye. You're here for me. This is my operation. You're here to help me. That is it. You're getting paid by me to be here. And if you're not doing the job, or you're not giving me the look that I need, you're out. Doesn't mean you did good. Doesn't mean you did bad. Nothing. It's just, this isn't the right look. Thanks. Bye. Here's your money. Go away. I think this news is just much ado about nothing.
It's not stopping the boxing Twitter world from thinking that Fury got dropped. It's amazing. Fury has got, I think people are just gone completely against Tyson Fury. They want to believe this story that Opetaia, who is one of the best cruiserweight in the world, will be fighting Maris Berytus on the undercard of Fury versus Usyk on February 17th. Dropped Fury. It's a great way to build up the fight. It's a great way to get some publicity, because I haven't heard really much about Fury Usyk, to be honest. We're less than a month out, but it was a juicy little story. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. Maybe it's probably not true. Your reasoning makes some sense there, but you would think they would want more than five rounds with a guy who is pretty much the same height as Usyk, not as big, and can mimic those movements in there.
Yeah, but again, I don't know. I'm just saying, in terms of, you know, being a boxer, like what could it be? You know, you don't know. Listen, maybe he did drop him. Maybe he beat him up. Maybe, you know, you never know. But
that's what I want to hear, Chris. I want to get that out of you.
I think this is just Twitter fodder. Like you said, I think people are turning on Tyson, and you know, it makes sense. I mean, there are people that truly love Usyk and his story, and he's Ukrainian, and you know, he's unbeaten, and you know, there's a lot of reasons to like Usyk, and especially his personality, and he's so different than Tyson. And Tyson, I think he let boxing down last year, and we said that many times on air. You know, like the fact that he's not fighting and not defending those titles, and he's holding them hostage equal fight other guys in other sports, and then the performance he puts in the other sports, like, you know, so there's a lot of people going against Tyson Fury right now. Regardless, I don't think we'll ever get the answer to whether if this means anything or not.
Yeah, I always said sparring is like the one last thing you fighters have that's secretive and not out in the public, and it's like your own little group, like boys club.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like, and my major point is that, like, you're brought in for sparring for Tyson, and that's your job. And I've said this on air and other like, they're in sparring sessions, I might have just been working on one thing that round.
Right.
And I remember sparring with guys that were coming up and like, oh, sparring Chris Hutchins, and like, I did really good. Meanwhile, I'm literally just trying to land a right hand to your rib cage. Like,
right.
I'm working on one punch that round or even that session. You know, when you're the A guy and you're working on something very, very specific, anyone that gets in your way, bye.
Damn,
I only got so much time.
Damn you, Chris, with your reasoning and your experience.
We don't got a lot of
juicy rumor that I desperately want to be true. Actually, I don't care. I am actually what's better. I always root for what's better for boxing. Fury winning and then potentially fighting Joshua is the best thing for boxing.
Yeah, I guess.
Usyk getting his hand raised would be some epic shit.
Yeah, that's a very cool story. It is, but yeah, I think you're right. Dude, that Tyson Fury Joshua fight, especially now that Joshua's back on a tear.
Yeah, especially if he stops Ngannou, and then you can say, hey, look what I did. Like, it's all there right now. Saudi's going to obviously make that fight if it's next. It's
and that'll be the richest fight in history.
In terms of payment probably. All right, that's a good show, everybody. Hope you enjoy the fights this weekend. I'm probably going to bet Munguia by decision, plus 100.
Yeah,
seems to be the play. Unless I can, unless for, or maybe I can be convinced that Ryder might get stopped, but I just don't see it. That's the biggest fight this weekend. I will be live right here on the Inside Boxing Live YouTube page right before the main event. So that should be fun. What are you getting into this weekend?
Probably just work on house stuff, man. I just got a vanity delivered. That's why I was late today. So I got to go install that.
Yeah, go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. What is
Chris,
it? From,
Chris the Builder over here. Home
Chris,
Depot,
I love those pictures of
Lowe's.
Chris will send us pictures of him, you know, like being Bob the Builder.
Ripping out a bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, putting in a bathtub.
Jack of all trades.
Unknown skill of Chris Algiero here. Very, very handy guy.
Love that. Everyone have a great weekend. Remember to protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times and stay out of those DMs. Good night.